Good afternoon and welcome to Who's in the Kitchen. You're listening to WDRT Community Radio from Viroqua, Wisconsin, 91.9 FM and streaming live on the internet at WDRT.org, where you can listen to this and previous shows by going to our website and going to the archives for Who's in the Kitchen. We're on at noon every Saturday, and the last Saturday of each month is our farming show, Digging Deep. And I have a nice group of people here from the McIntosh Memorial Library today to talk about their gardening program. And I didn't know anything about it, so I'm going to ask a lot of questions because it really amazed me that the library is doing a community garden project with the children, right? Oh, and the grown-ups?
Mm-hmm.
Children and grown-ups. So my guests are Lacey Sheldon. Welcome, Lacey.
I'm so happy to be here today. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And she's the Youth Services Coordinator or Director of the Children's Library?
Yes, at McIntosh Memorial Library right here in Viroqua.
Yes, and I just want to give a shout-out for the library because they won a special award.
We did. Yes, we did. And
yes.
It was the Wisconsin Library Association's Library of the Year Award title, which we held from 2022 through 2023. But that award is so special because we know it's held by so many hands of our community members because of all of the support that we've been able to receive in our programming and in the library throughout in general. So a wonderful award to really share in this community. It was just such a wonderful thing to be able to receive this award. And we also hosted a reception, a celebration, and we had so many community members come in for that celebration. And Sheena was there as well, who's here with us today.
And Sheena, my second guest is Sheena Fulsang, and she is the FoodWise coordinator for UW Extension in Richland, Crawford, and Vernon counties. And she also works with the community garden. And your program is called what? Food Library, Food Growing, what? Growing
Sure.
Together?
So the library's garden, I could start off by saying it's not exactly a community garden, but it is an educational and an equitable donation garden. So community gardens, when we think of that term, a very, very beautiful thing. And to me, when I think of community garden, it means, oh, here's a space where everyone and anyone can come with their seeds and plant in and grow. However, our library garden is federally funded, and so we have a lot of guidelines to follow. And some of those guidelines lead us into this educational aspects of the garden and the equitable donation aspects of the garden, which we can talk through more. But so it is. There are many, many community partners involved, and we do interact with our community in that garden space. But we do lean into saying it's an educational and an equitable donation garden.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you for clarifying that. And you said you call it the Library's Food Garden Project, mm-hmm. but it is a longer name.
Yes.
Which is what?
The formal name is Viroqua's Growing Forward Together Garden.
Okay.
Which is a mashup of our city's motto and also the grant which we received. So we put all those words together, and that's how we came up with Viroqua's Growing Forward Together Garden, a.k.a. the library's garden.
And Sheena, what part do you play in that project?
Yeah, so Lacey has mentioned already the funding kind of behind the project. And so that funding actually comes from FoodWise, which is a program within the Health and Wellbeing Institute at UW-Madison Division of Extension. Mm-hmm. And we have a local presence here. And it's actually an internal grant, so it's managed, you know, within our state program team. But then the educators in each county across the state can apply alongside mm-hmm. partners to implement that garden project in a community. There's kind of an extensive process, you know, as any grant can be. But because FoodWise itself is also grant-funded, federally grant-funded, Lacey mentioned some of the sort of guidelines that come along with the grant funding.
Well, my eyes were sort of, you know, immediately thinking about writing grants. I mean, that takes somebody to do it, mm-hmm. and it takes time. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of came through the UW Extension program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you personally write the grant?
Or yeah, it was collaborative, for sure. Oh, absolutely.
Totally. So I'm really aware of all that stuff that goes on behind it. Oh, now we have this program, mm-hmm. and we got this money, but... Mm-hmm. How do we find out about these right. funds, and then they give you guidelines to do this. Mm-hmm. So there's mm-hmm. maybe other libraries in the state that are doing this. Mm-hmm. Can schools participate? Yeah. Or is this mainly okay?
Yep. So we actually our 3-county project has had now 3 garden projects across the 3 counties. And we did have a school-based project in Richland Center. It was the Richland Center Intermediate School Garden. And those gardens, the goal is to really be embedded in education at income-eligible sites. So FoodWise is federally funded through what we call the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP. Or Food Share, Wisconsin Food Share. Mm-hmm. Folks with limited income can, get a Quest card and have help, with the grocery bill, right, with those funds. And a portion of that goes towards education to help communities and folks with limited income have better access to healthy food, equitable access to healthy food, mm-hmm. and how to figure out how to, budget and manage to be able to buy that food. So part of that piece is working with partners where, the sites are eligible. So at that school, at least 50% of the students are eligible for free or reduced lunches. So we know that garden is serving, folks who have limited access to healthier foods or traditionally, right? So we have another garden project that just started actually last year as a pilot, but this year it's got fully funded, and that's in Soldiers Grove. And one is actually at the Soldiers Grove Health Center, and it's in mm-hmm. partnership with the Soldiers Grove Library. And we're working, it's called the Multi-Generational Garden. Mm. So Soldiers Grove Multi-Generational Garden. So the goal there is to bring youth from North Crawford School District, who also are sort of that qualifying audience that we talked about, where at least 50% of their population are eligible for free or reduced lunches. And they're able to come to the nursing home there and do multi-generational programming, bringing community to a place where they have less access to even community interactions, let alone healthy foods. So it's a really great opportunity to meet the needs of communities that are unique to each community in each project.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And it just seems like it's reaching all ages.
Yeah.
And I love the educational aspect of it. It's not just showing up and weeding a garden. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just way mm-hmm. more to it. Mm-hmm. And I have just had so many questions, but maybe I'll just kind of let you sort of direct it. I mean, for one thing, just to start out with, seems like our library is kind of surrounded by asphalt. So where do you have a garden?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think the place to start is so Viroqua is my hometown. And so I moved back into the area in around 2019, and I became employed at the McIntosh Library in January of 2020. And soon I was employed
at the old building?
No, it was here at its current location.
Okay.
But the emphasis on January 2020 is that takes us back into those right before the COVID mandates of stay home mandates began. And I also started in adult programming and outreach before I became the youth services director. So at my desk, I had a small sheet of paper that had written on it, Sheena Fuslong Garden, and her phone number. And so I was very curious. I thought, what does this mean? And so with discussion with the library director, Trina Erickson, she remembered that it was for connecting to Sheena about her ideas around a gardening project that we could partner on. So I gave Sheena a call. And soon after that, we started to meet online, right? We weren't meeting in person during these times. And that's really where the story of the library's garden begins, is meeting with Sheena. And we wanted to identify a location for a potential garden. And I had thought of where the outdoor pool had been. It's right across the street from the library.
Right.
When I was younger and living here, I was actually a lifeguard at that pool. It was one of my first jobs ever. And so I had sort of this emotional connection to that place, that space.
Right.
And moving back and seeing that not much had happened in that space since the pool was, you know, covered up and turned into this vacant space.
With the bathhouse there, mm-hmm. which is kind of an old structure from, I don't know, the 30s or something.
Yeah, a historical structure. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I wonder if this could make a good garden space. So from there, I started to connect. It's city-owned property, and it's under the management of the Parks and Rec Department. And so being that the library itself is a department of the city, I reached across or connected with the Parks and Rec Department, and we started to have conversations with that Parks and Rec director at the time. It was Dan Stalsberg, and he thought this was a great idea to have the garden up there. And he really put a lot of support behind the idea of the garden as well. And so we more or less had found, or we were confirmed, that we could use that space. And that's where the story continues from there. Meeting with Sheena virtually online for, it was probably about a good 9 months, and discussing, one, the garden's grant funding and the stipulations around that, but also what was really amazing about the grant itself is it really set up a great framework for success. And so it really pointed us in the direction of wanting to have as many community partners as possible, working with Wisconsin State Master Gardeners, developing an organizational team for the garden, and moving it forward in those ways. So the grant really set us up for success. And Sheena could talk more about the 5 years. So it was a grant award for $5,000.
Yeah, so the sort of the structure of the grant, the goal of it is to build sustainability. So gardens are great. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. But they're also a lot of work, mm-hmm. right? And they also, you need partners who are, you know, just invested. And so in terms of sustainability, the goal is to try to really build capacity within the community and the partners who are at the table, while also keeping in mind that the goal of increasing access mm-hmm. for healthy foods. Mm-hmm. So, and keeping people who have less access traditionally to that food, you know, keeping them in mind and helping prioritize those audiences. And so that's kind of the vision and mission in which, you know, Lacey and I discussed and going into the project. So the first year you could apply for up to $2,500. Same thing with the second year. So that's $5,000. And then the following year would be $1,000 and then $500 for the last. Mm-hmm. So we're in actually the fourth year of the project. Mm-hmm. So roughly 60. We were pretty close to as much as we could get.
Well, that's great.
through that time frame, yeah.
I just want to take a break and let you know you're listening to Who's in the Kitchen on WDRT Community Radio, coming from Viroqua, Wisconsin, the Driftless area. And my guests today are Lacey Sheldon, who is with the McIntosh Memorial Library Youth Services Director, and Sheena
Fulsang.
I have to not look at the spelling of it. It's Fulsang, who is the FoodWise Coordinator at UW Extension Service. And we're talking about the McIntosh Library Food Garden Project. Mm-hmm. Growing forward together.
Yes.
Do I have the right order of the words?
Viroqua's Growing Forward Together Garden, an educational and an equitable donation garden.
And this is just so interesting to me. It does sound like having the grant. I mean, you imagine just starting this project with, you know, making up your own plan, trying to figure out, well, who would work on it? What would it look like? What food would we grow? Where would we get the money? I mean, it really is wonderful. It gave you a structure to work with. And, you know, the amount of money these days, that doesn't sound like very much. But money is where it shows where the priorities are in any kind of plan, the farm bill or whatever. Where we put your money where your mouth is. So how did you start? What did you need the money for, and how did you start out? And is anybody paid, or is this all free volunteer labor? And then, well, you know, what did you need money for to just kind of like get it going?
Yeah, absolutely. So that first year, we really needed to have garden beds. We needed all kinds of stuff, like everything you can think of for having a garden. That's what we needed. So we needed garden beds. We needed the soil. We needed hoses and plants and seeds. And we needed people to be committed to the garden. We needed buy-in. So we did ask, Sheena and I presented for Viroqua City Council before we even broke ground, and they gave us lots of approval and encouragement to keep moving forward. And we also had the Park and Rec Department on board as well, but we needed to contract with a builder to construct some garden beds made out of lumber. And so we reached out to Lenny Sheldon at High Rise Home Improvements, and he came on board and he constructed for us some beautiful and very sturdy garden beds. We had four lower to the ground beds, so those would be, shorter and to the ground, more traditional ground beds. Mm-hmm. And then we also had it in mind that we wanted to be able to have what we call standing assisted beds, so that somebody could come into the garden and not need to crouch or get low, but could stand next to a bed and hold on to it, or even be like strapped to it so that they could be able to work in that garden bed. And so those beds are very interesting because they have a wooden platform, but sitting on that platform, which brings the height way up, are smart pots. So I don't know if you know about these,
No.
but smart pots, they're like fabric liners that are intended for vegetables to be grown in. And that added about an extra almost nearly 2 feet. And then we had hog wire panel, really sturdy fencing put around those smart pots so the fabric wouldn't bow out in the center. So that's what maintains its structure. But the actual panel itself, the metal panel, is really nice for holding on to. We also wanted to construct a garden bed that was ADA compliant. And so I think out of all of the beds that were designed, this one was the most technical because it looks mostly like a table, a dining table, but it has about 10 inches worth of a tabletop that holds soil in it. And so given the required measurements for ADA compliance, it was built to those specifications. The American Disabilities
Act.
And so it makes it possible for wheelchair users, people who are using wheelchairs, to be able to sit at that garden bed with their legs underneath it as they would sit at a table. And so then people are able to work in that garden bed as well, which we currently have strawberries planted in, which is really nice. And another portion of the actual design is we wanted to really think about how could we raise food in alternative ways, or better to say, what kind of other structures are available besides a lumber and a potting soil type of bed, right? Because we know that purchasing lumber and soil can be rather expensive. And so we wanted to demonstrate that food can also be grown in
containers
or other readily available materials such as straw bales. And we have, that's really accessible for a lot of people here, right? We have lots and lots of straw bales in the area, which we purchase for about $5. And we learned from the master gardeners how to turn those straw bales into places where we can grow food. And so there is a conditioning process that comes with turning a straw bale into material that can grow food, which we could talk through at some point if you'd like to. But the point is when we really started with that blank ground with nothing on it, we had to bring in these different beds and containers and straw bales and really think through the design of the garden and how it could best show people these different ways in which to grow food.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And so did you have some master gardeners that were guiding
We
you?
Did.
So a requirement of this project in the beginning was to work with the master gardener program. So that growing together is actually, when it began, it was a multi-state initiative. So I want to say Iowa and Wisconsin for sure. We're kind of piloting this project as a partnership with Master Gardeners. Now, the Master Gardener program over the time frame that we've been working in this garden has changed a bit when, in terms of UW-Madison and Extension. However, we are still able to work with the Master Gardeners and you know, they still are in our Wynn Wilding Way was pretty much and has been our, you know, mastermind. Mm-hmm. And just she's been so patient with me. I would feel, you know, I've learned so much from her. And just even when you think about food and gardening and I'm just gonna say this, I hope she's okay with it. I'm sure she is, but just the spiritual part of that and, you know, learning to respect plants and animals. Mm-hmm. I've recently been exposed to what traditional ecological knowledge, which is like the Native American approaches. Mm-hmm. To, you know, learning about the world around us and
the interconnectedness of everything.
Interconnectedness. And, yes. And it talks about plants being our brothers and sisters, right? We're all brothers and sisters. And so, anyway, so that's, for me, has been something that has added a layer of depth and meaning to the project.
Yeah.
Right. And Narwin has such a wide experience. And, you know, she's worked with a greenhouse for just years, the local greenhouse, and then a student gardening in the schools, especially Pleasant Ridge School and Youth Initiative, and then working at the food co-op. I mean, she just knows every aspect of food. And yes, she does have that well-rounded view of things being connected and also growing things in a healthy way. Regard for the soil and for natural ways of, you know, controlling weeds and insects and things like that, which you might not find in every master gardener, but you did.
Yes. I have great admiration, both personally and professionally, for Arwen Wilding Way, and she is a real treasure in our community, and she has, as Sheena said, has been such a strong contributor to this garden project, and she does participate on a volunteer level as well. She has been very very helpful in the garden design. And each year we consult about what is going to be grown in the garden. And we could talk a little bit more about how we arrived to those conclusions as well. But yes, she is absolutely such just wonderful for this project. And we had also another master gardener come on board 2 years ago, Jana Volton, who was newer to the community. And when she heard about the project, she was so excited to come on board. And Jana really facilitates a lot of the harvesting aspects of everything. She comes weekly during that harvesting season, if you will, and actually will take the produce and deliver it to the Community Hunger Solution, who is also another partner on the project as well. So we really do have two strong Wisconsin State Master Gardeners working on the project, and it just brings so much professionalism and those educational aspects to the forefront as well.
Oh, that's excellent. And I'm sure the idea of the garden is that it will be for perpetuity, not just for 5 years or something like that, but that it's really embedded and grounded in that spot and with the knowledge of all the people who've participated, that it will be able to continue as a training ground and a place for people to work and volunteer.
Yeah, absolutely. And to that point, everyone who is participating is on a volunteer capacity. So there is nobody who's receiving a salary or a paycheck, if you will, to be involved in the project. It is a lot of volunteers and community partners that come in to grow the gardens.
it just combines so many things. For one thing, to have older people and handicapped people working with youth is just so wonderful to combine them together in a project like that and have expertise and, you know, some kind of coordination and an educational aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And to that point, with the children coming into the garden, it is oftentimes the library after-school program participants who are first through fourth graders who come to the library every day between 3:15 and 5:15 p.m. And so a part of that program is having them come into the garden space, and they help us with all kinds of things. They're great at planting and getting some of those seeds started for us. They really love to help dig up the ground and the soil beds. And yeah, so that's a real treat.
Cleaning up the plants at the end of the season.
Yeah, there's that too.
Pulling things out and watering.
Yeah, so at the end of their school year, really about this time, mid-April, May, is when we get them over there more often, and they can help with the planting and the preparation for the season. And then, of course, they go on their summer break. And so I plan and coordinate programs for the youth summer program to bring in an audience of youth throughout those summer months. And then when school resumes and the after-school program participants come back in the fall time, they are absolutely thrilled to be around all the fresh food. They tell me all kinds of stories about how, oh, over the summer I was in grandma's garden, or we have a garden at home, or Miss Lacey, what's this? It's a tomato. So they are so enthusiastic about harvesting.
At how everything just burgeons. I mean, you just have these empty beds and these little seeds, and it's really pretty miraculous, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really
One
exciting.
One seed can grow a plant with many fruits on it, and each of the fruits have seeds. I mean, it's a pretty amazing plan.
Yeah, the whole process of it. And also when we start off at the beginning of a growing season as well, what we've worked into our strategic planning for the garden is to survey the people who will be participating in it. So I will survey the after-school program children and ask them, what do you want to grow in this garden? What do you want to see in this garden? And then something we haven't touched on yet, but where does the food go in the end? Where does this produce go? And it is donated to the Parkview Apartments, which has a senior dining facility within it. And so Sheena and my colleague at the library, Maggie Sturtmatter, go to the apartments, and they also survey the residents of the apartments to ask them, what would you like grown? And so when we combine those survey results together, that's what gives us direction to share with Arwen and Jana about, oh, these are the top few things. And we can talk through what those are.
And it also kind of helps. So our partner, Community Hunger Solutions, Jeanette Burlingame, mm-hmm. she also a huge pillar in this community.
Absolutely.
In terms of the
Absolutely.
Work that she does mm-hmm. and gleaning and organizing mm-hmm. Part of the Vernon Economic Development Association over there, like mm-hmm. The center over there.
The Food Enterprise Center.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So she actually, this is what she does. She operates somewhat as a food bank. Mm-hmm. And so, prior to us even coming together with mm-hmm. the garden, I knew that Jeanette had been interested in more community-based gardens and gleaning off of those to supplement mm-hmm. some of the produce that she distributes across, many counties. She covers multiple counties mm-hmm. From home base Viroqua. And there, you know, the reality is that when she gleans produce from, you know, local farms, Harmony Valley is a big one, and she gets things from Organic Valley. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's many others that I just can't list right now, but she, you know, oftentimes gets a big bulk of one thing or two things or a variety of things, but will be missing some of those things that, such as tomatoes, mm-hmm. such as potatoes, mm-hmm. such as some of those things mm-hmm. she can't glean. She's looking for more of. And so the garden presented as an opportunity to fill in those gaps. And so when we do survey them, we do, you know, work with Jeanette to say, hey, mm-hmm. which items that they requested can you not readily get already?
Mm-hmm.
So
now is Jeanette, what's her last name?
Burlingame.
Is she with Community Hunger Solutions?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
She's the director.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is just such an example of a community working together.
Yes.
I am so amazed. A lot of these things have been established for years, but they're just really working together now. Mm-hmm. It's just really coming together to get. Mm-hmm. It is an example of the, you know, the farm to table mm-hmm. movement, which
Absolutely.
Was started, you know,
yes.
several decades ago. And mm-hmm. Monique Hooker was
yes.
very involved in that,
yes.
and she was a chef, and she also worked
yes.
with gardens and chefs and got food into the public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And this is that's sometimes the missing link
mm-hmm.
is. There's all this food growing, and people mm-hmm. have gardens, and then there's wonderful larger organic gardens in the area and CSAs, community-supported agriculture. And then to get that food to the people who need to eat it is like
yes.
this sometimes is the difficult part, the missing link.
Mm-hmm.
Transportation.
The system.
The system
of how we get food and move food. And
right. So do we
exactly.
want these, you know, nursing homes and schools and elderly apartment food programs and things like that
mm-hmm.
to be buying canned food or, you know, prepared food that comes from states or countries, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, not anywhere near here. And, mm-hmm. and you know, why can't we get local food to mm-hmm. local people? And so this is just a wonderful connection of everyone in
yes.
the community.
Yes.
I'm really, really impressed. And
yes.
It's great that it's working through the libraries, because that's mm-hmm. a wonderful way to get through into every small community.
Mm-hmm.
Every small community has a library. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that at the Westby Library they were growing a pizza garden. And I thought,
fabulous.
How do you do that? Well, the kids said, we like pizza. What goes on a pizza? Well,
yes,
you
yes.
know, tomatoes and
yes.
herbs mainly, maybe
mm-hmm.
zucchini
mm-hmm.
or, you know, what else?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I'm just,
yeah.
you know, so impressed. I'm talking with Lacey Sheldon and Sheena Fulsang, and they are talking with us about the libraries. Food Garden Project, growing forward together. mm-hmm. here in the community and working with elderly all the way down to just little tykes mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. through coordinated through the library, but working with master gardeners, working with money that's available through UW Extension, let's see, what is it, FoodWise coordination, mm-hmm. just coordinating with so many local enterprises, you know, the city and the park department and mm-hmm. schools and greenhouses and bringing it all together in mm-hmm. this project mm-hmm. across the street from the McIntosh Memorial Library in the old area where the swimming pool used to be. Mm-hmm. And I remember that, and you do too, that used to be packed with bicycles all summer long. And it made me sad to see that mm-hmm. property just kind of sitting idle. And so mm-hmm. what a wonderful way
yes.
to resurrect that. I'm sure there's yes. still bicycles parked outside. And kids coming over after school
yes.
with the library program.
Yes. And you know mm-hmm. what? I wanted to mention on that aspect of the children in the garden, and in particular with the after-school program, they are aware that they are growing food for their neighbors in the Parkview Apartments and the senior dining facility that need it, you know? So they are aware of where the food is going. And I think that is one of the most valuable lessons of this garden and that education, that the youth are empowered to do something really important and meaningful. Mm-hmm. And so that to me is just so special about the garden mm-hmm. is that they understand that. And it really brings a lot more enthusiasm into the project as well.
Well, they meet some of the people who are getting to eat this food, aren't they? And is there a chance for them to take a field trip to where some of the people are having that food?
That is a really good idea, but we haven't gotten quite to that point yet. The after-school program has an enrollment currently of about 50 children, so our field trips need to be really coordinated and scheduled, I'm sure you could understand. But yeah, I think that point that they understand where the food is going. So they're learning about vegetables, how to grow them, how they grow, how to maintain and care for them, and then where does the food go? So they're getting this picture of, you know, from the beginning up right up until nearly the mm-hmm. end. And I think that's so, so valuable. And the dining facilities are always appreciative of being able to receive the extra food. Jeanette at Community Hunger Solutions is able to fill in some of those gaps that Sheena was talking about as well. So that's all really, yeah, that system. We're really working on addressing food insecurity
wow.
within this greater community. And it's really a privilege to be able to be involved in the project.
Right. Well, the food system, we have kind of gotten to a really mechanized, you know, standardized food system that is not really using the culinary expertise of the people who are involved in preparing the food. So, you know, mm-hmm. we're all kind of used to this stuff that you throw in a deep fryer or mm-hmm. it comes out of a mm-hmm. bag and you mm-hmm. put it in the oven or whatever. So it's almost, there's a whole training side, I learned that from Monique, mm-hmm. of training the cooking staff wherever they're, you know, are receiving this food. What do you do with a zucchini that comes mm-hmm. right, you know, mm-hmm. from the ground, you mm-hmm. know? What do you do with a cabbage or a squash? And do they, you know, and they probably get a load of something at one time, you know, the tomatoes all come in at the same time. And are they preserving it? Are they canning it? Mm-hmm. You know, so there's just that whole aspect of what do you do with food that comes right out of the garden?
Mm-hmm.
It's not coming in packages, just, you know, heat and serve.
Mm-hmm. And one of those you know, branching off of the idea of going to a garden, harvesting some food and bringing it back and cooking it. I do that with youth for summer programs. And that has been so fun.
Oh,
you mentioned the idea of a pizza garden. And I have actually done that with this garden and the children as well. And they love it so much. It's so fun to take a group out into the garden and, okay, let's look at our different herbs. And they, you know, they break the herbs up a little bit and smell it. And they're like, oh, yeah, oregano, it smells like pizza. And then bringing them back into the library's program room and making up a little, some little English muffin pizzas for them. And they can put their herbs on it.
So there's a cooking aspect for the kids.
Yes.
Oh, it's just so great.
Yes. And I have hosted before food programs for toddler ages. And last summer, this program was supported by the Roca Food Co-op as well. But we would meet in the garden, the youngest kiddos, you know, ages 0 to 5, and their families. And I would read them a big picture book about gardens. And then we would have them pick up these tiny little wicker baskets and go into the garden and harvest some different vegetables, whatever the theme was for that story time. And then they'd try it. And one time I did carrots. And I had a parent tell me, I have never seen my 3-year-old get after a carrot as much as I have today, because the kiddo actually pulled the carrot out of the ground. We rinsed it off and they took a big bite out of it. So that type of really early introduction to gardens and food just seemed to be like so special in its educational values. And being able to intertwine literacy into that as well, reading stories in the garden.
Right.
So that garden space for us really is for growing food, but it's also multi-purposeful in the way of we've had our 4-H educator, Emery Bork, come in and host entomology, bug and insect classes for children as well. And so we can think about gardens so much as, oh, this is all about growing food, but there's so much more going on in a garden, right? There's all the bugs and the weather aspects, and pretty soon I'll be posting a story walk in our garden as well. And what a story walk is I've put a picture book and all of the pages in that picture book on yard signs, you know, like a standard yard sign size that is also weatherproof. And we're going to be posting them in the order of the pages within the garden space. And so essentially a person who would like to visit the garden can come and have a walk through the garden, but also read
the story.
The story.
That is brilliant. Well, I see you have a book here, and I wonder if you would read from it.
Yeah, I would be happy to read a couple pages. So the book I have in front of me is titled Wonder Walkers by Micah Archer. And this is a beautiful children's book. And it talks about the wonder of nature. And this is the book that is going to be hanging in our garden. And I do want to say that the funding to support the Story Walk came from the Food, Faith, and Farming Network of Wisconsin through their support and grant fundings to be able to produce this. So Wonder Walkers by Micah Archer. It shows two young children, and one is asking, "Wonder Walk?" The other child replies, "Sure." And then the story progresses through these really beautiful illustrations of the children asking questions about nature, wondering about nature, back and forth to one another. So I'll just read a few of their questions. One child asks, "Is the sun the world's light bulb? Is fog the river's blanket? Do mountains have bones? Are forests the mountain's fur? Are trees the sky's legs? Do caves have mouths? Are rivers the earth's veins? Is the moon the world's nightlight? I wonder. Me too. The end. So that was a bit of an abbreviated version, but it is a very beautiful book, and it will be hanging mid-month, April 2024, in the library's garden area on the fencing. Mm-hmm. So if for folks are always welcome to come into the garden space.
I was going to ask.
To have a look.
Like me, I want to go.
Yes, come,
can people
come
just
have a look.
Walk in?
Yes.
Or do they need to check in beforehand? It's accessible to the public?
That's right. Along the same guidelines as any of our other city parks. So I believe that's sunrise to sunset. But yeah, people are very welcome to come have a walk through, see what's growing, enjoy the story walk.
So we are, this interview is taking place in April, mid-April. And I'm wondering what is going on right now. This is all the preparatory stuff. And really, we've just come out of a snowstorm of about 6 inches. Mm-hmm. And today I think it's going to be in the 60s. So we are, people are just itching to get, you know, working with soil.
Absolutely.
And starting some seeds. So how does that happen? Who's starting the seeds and where is it happening?
Yeah, we've been meeting now for couple of months. So there's already been lots of work that you can't see necessarily.
Isn't that
included. I have a new bilingual food-wise nutrition educator who came to the seed swap and was able to, you know, do a communicate with people about the garden and then also get volunteers who might be interested in either just volunteering or donating plants. Once we know what to donate, we're also working towards surveying folks at Parkview so I can, so that Maggie and I can, you know, better identify any programming they would be interested in, and also, you know, what the types of produce that are of highest need for them. So we are very much in the planning. I gotta get to the store and purchase some things. those are the things you don't think about before you get to the actual gardening part. And at some point here, we're gonna be getting some straw bales. Harmony Valley provides us straw bales at a very reasonable price because of the project. That's something that we'll be picking up, and then we'll start conditioning the bales because you do have to have them conditioned so that they can grow food.
We're at those pre-planning stages again for the fourth year, but now that we have the garden established, now it looks like let's find out what we're going to grow. Let's get talking with our partners and getting the whole system set up again for this year. And we do have opportunities for people to volunteer in the garden if they'd like to. And that is mostly around sort of the really fun aspects of the garden, planting and then harvesting as well. We are very fortunate. We received a grant from the Kids Forward organization in 2023 to install water pipe because we were watering without pressurized water for the first few years. So regardless, now we have a spigot with pressurized water, and we have it hooked up to an irrigation system. So we let that just drip away all summer long. So the volunteer opportunities aren't necessarily in with the watering, but definitely planting, maybe some weeding, some groundskeeping.
So how do people find out about it? I don't live in Viroqua, and I really missed all the publicity about this. I can't believe it because I'm very interested. But how do you publicize what you're doing?
Sure. I would recommend that if anyone listening would like to collaborate in on the project and come in as a volunteer, to go to the library's website, which is MacIntoshMemorialLibrary.org. On that main welcome homepage, we have a tab for volunteer opportunities. And within that tab, they would be able to select, oh, I would like to dig in to the Viroqua's Growing Forward Together garden, also known as the library's garden. So that's a great way to for people to be able to access that volunteer information and put their name in. Also, they could call the library at 608-637-7151 and be directed to myself.
And really, I mean, if community partners or community members or groups are interested in also providing opportunities for nutrition education, for, mm-hmm. you know, gardening education, or mm-hmm. just to go have a place to have lunch. Like, that mm-hmm. is what the space is meant mm-hmm. to be. And that's why I love the book that Lacey read, because the, you know, the goal also is to just connect people with the outdoors. Mm-hmm. You know, we just don't have a lot of green spaces anymore in I guess we're urban, but
so the big are city. There benches? Are there tables?
There are
picnic yeah. tables, there places are. To eat mm-hmm. that there invite are. You to have your lunch there?
Yes,
there's
there
definitely
are.
Benches for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then also, like, I just think about, you know, any child care centers or in-home mm-hmm. child care folks mm-hmm. who want to bring the kiddos on a little field trip. Mm-hmm. I mean, they would probably connect with the library first, just to see, you know, what's available or what, you know, mm-hmm. when timing-wise. But the goal is really to make, you know, garden-based education also accessible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely a part of our greater mission and vision, is that people can walk right into the garden, enjoy it, learn about it, and have a great experience
mm-hmm.
in this educational and equitable donation garden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think the children could probably help make a book themselves, each one having a little tale to tell.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that so much. Absolutely. I think the garden in itself is just it's such a beautiful story, right? In the way that two people came together with an idea, and how that really grew into incorporating four levels of government: city, county, state, federally funded, and being so well supported by, as you're mentioning, the children who are coming from the different schools in town to the garden, and having the library involved, having Foodwise Nutrition Education involved, having the 4-H education involved, having one of our great organizations in town, Community Hunger Solutions, who's working towards for hunger relief efforts, to being able to connect to Parkview Apartments and the senior dining facility within that. And then all the folks and great volunteers along the way who have come to learn about mm-hmm. the food system and how can we better the food system? Mm-hmm. How can we all do better? And that to me is just a beautiful story that I hope goes on and on
I
and
know.
On.
Well, I'm thinking about the food pantry. Is there a connection with the food pantry?
No, not right now.
I know that'd be a logical place.
Right. Well, the thing is that Jeanette from CHS, like I said, she kind of operates as a food bank. So, you know, she establishes produce at most places, but the amount of produce that we have really is ideally suited, you know, for Parkview Apartments.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I do
mm-hmm.
want to say that mm-hmm. the Living Faith Food Pantry has begun to donate some food to the library's after-school program, and so we're very grateful for that.
Isn't
as
that
well.
Amazing?
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Yes. So just more connections within the food system. Mm-hmm. And although we have a really special one happening around this garden, you know, there are so many other efforts being done within this community. And so I think on behalf of Sheena and myself, we're really welcoming in more people and more organizations to connect with us if there is a way to continue to build up this space and these efforts.
Mm-hmm. Wow, such a great opportunity for volunteers. Mm-hmm. And great opportunity for people who need the food. Mm-hmm. So I just really want to thank my guests, Lacey Sheldon, who is the Youth Services Coordinator at McIntosh Memorial Library and who's been working with the library's food garden, and Foodwise Coordinator Sheena Fulsang, from the UW Extension Service, and she works with Crawford, Richland, and Vernon counties. Gals, this is so exciting and just so fun to see something. It's just like planting. It's just like it was a seed. It wasn't even visible. Just think, in 2020, you couldn't see anything.
Yes.
And it just grew. It grew like a garden.
It has. And we're so thankful for it. And
it has been a delight to meet both of you. Thank you so much for being on the show. And I hope we'll do another show later on, and you can really tell us about what's growing and getting harvested and more, you know, activities that are going on related to the garden.
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been great. You've been listening to Who's in the Kitchen. I'm Philothea Beeson. And this is WDRT 91.9 FM coming from Viroqua, Wisconsin, the fabulous Driftless area. One more great thing about the Viroqua area, we're always so proud of our little town. And people come to Viroqua and they go, wow, there's only like four blocks. It's just amazing what happens here. So thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week at noon on Saturday.